Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire. Ooh.
Hey, this is Richard Rollins from Dallas Monkey Garage, and you're on the road with Dave on WGN.
720 WGN on the road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Skyline Studio, high atop Chicago, and great to have one of the great personalities of automotive TV and lifestyle, making fast and fun television, both on the commercial side and as star of the hit shows Fast and Loud and Garage Rehab on the Discovery Channel. Honored to have Gas Monkey Garage's very own Richard Rawlings. Welcome to WGN.
Hey, good morning.
Well, it's great to have you on. You mentioned on the commercial side, and some of our favorite commercials of all times were those Dodge commercials that you did, whether it was Challenger versus Charger, you know, with the ipso facto and Dodge Law, sort of the buddy cop thing with the stuffed monkey. And it showed your funny side, like your comedic side. Is that something that you've always thought was great to build into the things that you do, is kind of the funny side of Richard Rawlings?
Yeah, I've got kind of a funny bone, if you will. And, you know, it was exciting to get to do something that was a little bit off the beaten path with Dodge, you know, and just have a little bit of fun. I mean, they're fast, they're loud, and I had a little bit of fun, and off we go.
Yeah, there is no doubt. And I know that things like that brings what it is that you do, your personality and some of the other projects, to a wider audience. In addition, I mean, we cover a lot of the food stuff as well as the automotive and motorsport side. Is, you know, you've got a lot of great things that you're great at. I didn't know, like, judging cakes was one of them, but excited. It's very cool to have you on that. That's going to be one of the biggest shows that Food Network has done in a long time. You're going to be on Buddy versus Dove as a celebrity judge.
Well, I tell you, a lot of people don't know about me is that I love to cook, and you know, I'm always in the kitchen. You know, even though I've got a chain of restaurants and things like that, I like to go home and barbecue and cook and bake and what have you. It, you know, gets me out of the garage. So I was really excited when they asked me to do that, judge the first one of the Buddy versus Duff. And it's pretty freaking cool.
Well, here's the thing. People come down, it's kind of polarizing. It's kind of like you go way back into the day, sort of like the Sugar Ray Leonard versus Roberto Duran. I just talked to Duff a few minutes ago. I mentioned, like, the Pacquiao Mayweather, and he said, well, then they're both, you know, way past their prime. So this is not that. Did you have somebody you were pulling for going in, or did you just try to, as a judge, be completely objective?
I was trying to just be completely objective and, you know, let it happen. They both went way out of their element, so to speak, you know, making these cakes and our cars. And it was all centered around my 50th birthday, which is just here in a couple of weeks. So it was kind of a birthday cake from each of them, which is pretty daggum cool. And we got out there and took a look at the technical difficulty of each one, along with the taste and the style and what they were adding in there.
Excited to see that. That's going to be coming up on Sunday on the Food Network. When it comes to cars and what it is that you guys do on Fast and Loud, you're finding some of these great classic cars, you're rehabbing them, you're flipping them, right? So it's sort of connected in some ways on the concept side to those HGTV type shows that everybody loves, where you get in there and do that. I wanted to ask, you know, because there are so many of these cars that are great muscle cars. We got World of Wheels coming into Chicago this weekend where they're being highlighted. Is, as time goes on, I know our family, you know, we've got a 70 Hemi Cuda, and I think there's like 11 of them that match, you know, the same features and things that are built. And are we running out of cars like that as more people kind of rehab them, and as time goes on and less of them are available? Is there going to be a time where there'll be a shortage of cool cars like that?
You know, I don't believe so, because they're always churning in what I call project mode. So, you know, they're always out there. They're always available. Now, finding these rare, rare barn finds, that might be getting a little bit tougher, but it sometimes just goes from one barn to another, and then you find it 5 years later, 10 years later. Sometimes, you know, it just gets slightly transformed, and then somebody else has got to get it. So it's not like these cars are going away. Once they're rescued and not scrapped, they kind of live on another life, which I think is the coolest part of it.
Well, having your hand on the pulse of so much of it, there's some that are just going to be classics, you know, all the time, your Mustangs, Chevelles, you know, the Camaros, the GTOs, and all those kind of things. But do you see kind of like, I don't know if it's like fashion or maybe sometimes food, right, where there's different trends that come along where now you're seeing cars that were always liked and appreciated but come to sort of the forefront, whether it's like the 56 Nomad that you did for Dale Jr. or the Broncos, right, which are just hugely popular. They're kind of like, I don't want to say fads, but kind of trends where certain cars become more popular.
Well, what's really cool about the technology and the internet today is that these segments that you may or may not have known about are growing in more popularity. So that's where you're seeing the spikes in Broncos, or the spikes in the Jeep, or the spikes in maybe Mustang 2s from the middle of the 70s. you know, before they were very small cliques, and, you know, it's hard to find a group that maybe was into what you were into. But now with the old interwebs, you know, the proliferation of everybody talking about it is actually protecting the cars from getting scrapped. And people are finding more and more people that are interested in the same weirdness that they are. Yeah. So I'm pretty excited about that fact, because a long time ago, there might have been, you know, you might have thought there were only X number of people that like the kind of car you like, and now you can just get on the net and find everybody in the world that likes it.
Now, do you find, as you're doing it, and of course, well, let the listener know, we're talking with Rich Rawlings from Fast and Loud Garage Rehab from the Discovery Channel, that sometimes, you know, you have a car that you highlight that you think is great. Like you said, you know, a lot of people may not be aware of that, but that maybe it gets more popularity, and a lot of your show is based on kind of the value of things and flipping them. Having them kind of star on your show and having that great audience, do you ever see it kind of change the, maybe the market value of some of those things, where maybe they were a little less available or even less valuable, and then boom, they're on the show and it goes up?
Most definitely. Gas Monkey kind of cut its teeth originally on Model A's, and I'm pretty sure I'm responsible for moving the market on that, because we've bought and sold probably 700 of them. And you know, I remember when I used to be able to get them for 500 or 1,000 or 2,000 bucks, and now they're 8 and 10 and 12, you know. So having someone do something like what we do here at Gas Monkey on television, showing what you can do with this car and this much money, you know, I think is helping teach the guys at home that maybe do something else for a living that this is some fun they can have on the weekend.
Talk about some of the celebrity side that you bring into it. Certainly the cars are celebrities in and of themselves, but on the racing side too, like, how cool is that? And there is kind of a connection to, you know, like Ace of Cakes, you know, where they'd make a cake for Oprah or something like that, and you're making cars for some of the biggest stars and stars in motorsports. What is that like, you know, when you get to do that and unveil that and have them, maybe someone that you've appreciated what they do, they obviously appreciate what you do, and you bring it all together?
Oh, it's super cool to work with the different celebrities and people that we've had been fortunate enough to work with. You know, it's different, because I don't go out there and tell Junior how to race, and he doesn't tell me how to build what he's asking me for. So we both respect each other's boundaries, and everybody ends up happy at the end.
I got a chance to check out a little bit of the Joe Rogan interview that you did, which was absolutely awesome. And it was kind of cool, like, your entry into it. A lot of people have an appreciation for cars, but then their career path takes them down. What listeners may not know, you know, you started out as a first responder, right? A fireman, a police officer, and those kind of things. And then you kind of got into the car world. And you looked at the television side of it. And I think that's one of the things that is really cool about you, is that you come to it not only as an accomplished person on the car side, but I think really a true entertainer, whether it's the humor side or a lot of the stuff that you bring to the table. And you mentioned that you thought some of the programming that was out there, as popular as it was, had maybe more potential if it could appeal to families, right? If it could appeal to ladies and kids and all those kind of things. And talk a little bit about trying to build some of that into the things you do.
You know, that we're family first here. I mean, my ideology of working in the garage and hanging out, whether it's with the guys in the back or, you know, some of my family actually works here. When I was a kid, you know, my dad was in a different profession, and, you know, but on Saturdays and Sundays, the guys in the neighborhood and my dad were working on whatever, and whoever's driveway, and the kids were running around, and mom was barbecuing in the backyard or whatever, you know. So to me, that's what I thought was missing, and I wanted to bring that element in, you know, just bring the family part of it in and have a little bit more fun and get the kids and the moms watching. And I think that we executed it very well, and I'm real proud of where Gas Monkey stands as a family brand.
Yeah, oh my gosh, we love it. And just the way that it's shot is really cool too, and obviously the backstory, you got to build a little bit of the drama in there, and of course you've got to dispense a little bit of tough love when it comes to some of the projects and all that kind of stuff. When it comes to, like, on the car side, you know, one of the greatest or most, not I won't say greatest, right, but at least one of the most well-known businessmans of all time had the immortal words, don't get high on your own supply. Do you ever have, on the collection side, because you see this as a businessman, you're flipping these things, you're auctioning them, do you have cars that where you know it's valuable, you should sell it, but maybe you keep it for yourself? And what do you have in your collection?
Really, everything here belongs to the shop or me or however you want to look at it. We usually keep 40 or 50 cars at a time, and everybody always asks, you know, oh gosh, are these all your cars? And I'm like, no, I'm in the car business. They really are all inventory, and they're all for sale. I've probably got 3 or 4 cars that I'll never sell. I've got the original 52 Chevy Fleetline that we chopped. It was our first car we built as a company. I've got the 1930 Model A Ford that we built as the first car on television. And then I've got a 68 Chevy GT500 convertible that we built about 10 years ago.
Wow.
and then I have my first Ferrari. So right now, that's the collection that I won't ever sell. But you know, don't ever say never, because money talks.
That's right. That's the mantra. Well, when you say first Ferrari, it implies that there are other Ferraris that are built in there as well. But you mentioned, you know, kind of the background, not necessarily coming up through the car world in general. And we've asked everybody from movie stars, rock stars, you know, a lot of race car drivers as well. What was your first car? Was it something cool, or is it something that you wanted to redeem yourself for? What was it?
No, it was horrible. It was a 1974 Mercury Comet. With you know, that ugly 70s green, with the ugly 70s green interior, with green carpet and green back. It was green. Oh, I mean, every bit of it. So, and had hubcaps. So it wasn't exactly cool, but I guarantee you this, it was the cleanest, nicest one in the world.
Oh, that's awesome. So coming up on Tuesday, you know, you've got another episode. Talk a little bit about what people are going to see when they tune in this week.
Well, you know, this week is the last episode of this run of this season of Garage Rehab. And it is the second episode of American Warrior Garage, which is a garage that was started by two veterans in their spare time to help returning disabled veterans to learn a new skill set and put them back out into the world with a skill set that they can use on a daily basis. So what they do is they offered up out of their own pocket their whole shop and what have you. When we got there, I saw the business idea that went off in my head, and I'm like, my goodness, you know, these guys are doing this just to help the veterans learn a new skill set, and it could be so much better, and it could also be very replicable across the United States. So it was a really cool thing to be a part of, and, you know, we love our vets and our military, and to be able to offer a really killer service like that and give these guys and gals and get them acclimated back into the workforce here after coming back home, I'm just thrilled to be a part of it, and I'm hoping that we can get this thing growing like crazy.
Oh, that's awesome. We'll have links up at WGNradio.com for that as well, and people want to follow all of your adventures, and you mentioned the food side, too. Before we let you go, talk a little bit about the restauranting side of things. What was the point of that? Was it like, hey, you know, I've got to eat, I might as well do this, or was it kind of like the TV thing where you're just like, hey, there's some more fun, you know, things that you can do or spins you can put on the restauranting side?
Well, it really was a combination of the business plan as I wrote it, and then it was also just the story I told you a few minutes ago. You know, mom or someone was in the backyard cooking burgers and people were playing with the cars and the motorcycles. So to me, you know, Gas Monkey Bar and Grill and Gas Monkey Live are extensions of the car world. I mean, they're, you know, bring your cars, bring your motorcycles, hang out, have a burger and a beer. And we've got a lot of those coming online here in the next 24 months. I'm really excited about that. It's a growing brand. And we've got the energy drink now in 30-something thousand locations nationwide. We got the tequila out worldwide. So we got a lot of tentacles on the old Gas Monkey, but we're having fun, and we're doing things that go along with the lifestyle and what we like here at the shop.
I always say that, you know, you've made it when there's a Richard Rawlings action figure out there in the Gas Monkey Garage playset, you know, for the kids. Because you said it, you know, a family thing.
Yeah, I don't know if there's any Richard Rawlings action figures out there yet. There might be some voodoo dolls that my competition has, but we'll have to work on the action figure part.
We love what you do in all those different kind of incarnations and ways that you do it. Before we let you go, give the website where people could keep up with all your adventures and social media.
Oh, GasMonkeyGarage.com and GasMonkeyGarage on Twitters and Instagrams and Facebooks and what have you. We're easy to find, and, you know, we're highly active on there. So, you know, there's always something new pretty much every couple of hours.
Well, giving the people what they want. Richard, thanks so much for what you're doing. Thanks for all of those things. Again, we'll have the links up at WGNradio.com for Tuesday's show. And thanks for jumping on the show today.
Awesome. Thank you.